First of all, let me just say I'm glad to be with you. I'm Carr Holland, and I'm the interim associate rector, I think is my title. But I think the word is I'm interim. So I'm here for a period of time, and it's a delight to be with you in this place. I'm going to speculate that since we are here, we have some sense of Sabbath. Sabbath is a time when we are in a place where we intentionally rest ourselves in God. We enter into the heart, mind of God as best we can discern it for a period. We do it by opening scripture, by singing praises, by joining in prayers, by letting the sacrament work itself into our being. We come here to wonder about God's purpose for our life as we move forward and to wander about our own heart and mind and see where we might invite God more deeply in an intentional way in this, what we call our lives. This is our grounding in things eternal, things that come before us, things that occupy us, and things that linger after we are gone. That theme is woven in today's psalm. The psalmist writes, "In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear to me, and thus save me. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young. I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb, you have been my strength. My praise will always be of you. My praise will always be of you is a Sabbath sense. Sabbath, from its origins, was a day to take refuge and rest, to incline towards God, believing that God would then incline back toward us. It's a day to focus praises that lift us beyond our simple selves. The observance of sacred time with God is at the heart of Judaism and Christianity, even though we have moved it from the seventh day to the first day to mark resurrection. So it's not surprising that Jesus would go out on the Sabbath to the synagogue. There is a rhythm in Luke's gospel of Jesus on the Sabbath showing up in the synagogue, and several times as the teacher of that day. Synagogue in Jesus' day was no larger than the crying room at the back of this building. There his humanity was nourished, and his connections were made more deeply with the community, and together they entered into the fullness of divinity which so occupied his being. So it is that while teaching this day in the synagogue, he grows aware. He notices a woman. The gospel says, "And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years, and she was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight." She has crippling arthritis or scoliosis, perhaps, but it's perceived that a spirit has set in upon her. And in that day, to have a spirit set on you in a destructive way, well, that's no compliment. And yet here she faithfully is in the midst of keeping Sabbath. This story takes me back to Kurt, who was a kind of marginal parishioner when I first arrived at St. Clement's in Hawthorne, New Jersey. He had a form of crippling arthritis that should have been caught in his childhood, but was not. And since it wasn't, he was horribly bent over in his body. He struggled to look up, and when you looked at him, he was always looking at the top of his eyes because he was cast down in his view. I got to know Kurt when he and Susan came to me for premarital counseling, which is often the way you get to know people somewhere at the margin. They drift in when they need a sacrament. Susan was a Roman Catholic, very active in her church, singing in her choir. But she was also once married to a very handsome Italian man and had a son to prove it. Her husband's looks were the undoing of their marriage. But the church she loved would not remarry her because she would not seek an annulment, because, as she would say, there's Matthew, living proof that I actually was married. So she very cautiously was willing to come with Kurt to his church. In those months of counseling and in the years that were to come, I saw an amazing thing. She really saw Kurt beyond his body and his bentness. She knew him deeply and wanted to. And he saw her beyond her failed marriage and was willing to become not a father, but a stepfather, which is actually harder than being a father because it's treacherous turf. And he had never really had a father himself. I watched as an angry edge that preceded Kurt through life, that was the gift of a body bent by arthritis and parental neglect, who was so often overlooked because he was so bent and his gait was so unusual, and was now so deeply loved. And I watched as that anger began to melt away. This was a new beginning for a man who 2 years hence would help lead the parish's homeless ministry team in Patterson. And I remember how he once said to me, I do this every time I can because it reminds me that I am blessed and that my life is very rich right now. Having been seen in love, finally, he could deeply see life. And love like that is like the Sabbath. It's a place that makes us whole. And Jesus in the Gospels is a walking Sabbath, seeking to make people whole where they may rest and get insight and develop hope. I'm further indebted to Kurt because he changed my life. Because now when I see someone who has a malformation, as we might call it, I am grateful that Kurt entered my life to teach me how deeply one can see another if we just look beyond the surface to the inward parts where expectancy of life and love exist. So in the gospel, Jesus sees the woman who is before him. It says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, Woman, you are set free from your ailments. And when he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Now, can you even imagine that? Being bent over for 18 years, suddenly you're upright. And what's the first thing you do? You're in Sabbath time. You break into praise of God for the transition that has happened. This Sabbath experience was perhaps for her the deepest Sabbath she had ever known. It had gone right into her heart and her being and had made her whole. And Jesus was the viaduct. Her whole outlook and presentation to the world is now dramatically changed. It has to do with how this woman was once marginalized by what? By people's pity? By discomfort that she caused when she appeared in her given appearance? Or the limits that were on her life? So here she is in this upright joy, ready and praising God. And what does she hear? From the leader of the synagogue. There are 6 days on which this ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured. but not on the Sabbath day. Maybe he really does care about the Sabbath. He is the leader of the synagogue, and keeping its precepts is part of his duty. Perhaps he cannot see the ease with which Jesus just called her forward, and the uprightness she took without much struggle. All he sees is a cursed woman uplifted. Perhaps he doesn't know that her way of looking has been made well. Perhaps he didn't notice that the holy had intervened in a dramatic way in their midst. He seems only to be disturbed by a law disturbed, by the holy and the hope of God. When you keep Sabbath, you never know when the holy will enter into your life unexpectedly and intervene. And that's why we step into Sabbath time. Not so much because we have to, or to be right by some law, obey a rule, but to be softened, to be instructed by God's care and love, what we call grace. And we do so, in fact, to be healed of the rough edges that the world carves out in us as we carry its weights and its measures. Sometimes you and I do just fine out there in the world, in the dailiness of our lives. And sometimes we simply do not. And we need the softening stroke of God that is given to us in quiet. Back to the story. How often does a rule stand in our way of our seeing what God is doing? Don't get me wrong, rules are important. They help us shape reality and sort out how to interact with it. They can lower our outlook, though, and cripple our compassion. Jesus wears real thin right now in the gospel. He is impatient. You hypocrites, he calls out, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it and give it water? He might say, well, why is he raising that? Because there are two laws in the Old Testament. One said you couldn't do that. The animal couldn't drink till the next day. And the other realized that's not working for us. And so they altered the law to say, well, you can. And Jesus is just reminding them that compassion for even an animal will make us alter a law, let it break open into care. Ought this woman, a daughter of Abraham, he goes on, whom Satan has bound for 18 years in your perception, be set free from the bondage on the Sabbath day when God is interrupting in our midst? We can hear this gospel in many ways, and there are two that I would suggest are worth our noting today. One is life inside the church. We may each do Sabbath variously. Different things feed us or nourish us. Some people come to church needing some silence. Others come seeking conversation and connection. Some people like loud, clashing music, while others like gentle, soothing tones. Or perhaps we like a mixture of the two as they lead us through the textures of liturgy, and we look outward and we look inward and we find God press upon us. Some come here trying to manage children who aren't too fond of quiet and find it difficult. And some of us come here never needing to care about. Some of us come to escape the press of life, to disconnect from it, while others who live maybe fairly disconnected come to reconnect and revitalize and find community, to sort. God knows that we need all those things, depending on who we are and where we are at a given time. So wherever we are on that scale at any moment in time, we can allow ourselves to be fed by it, but also to create and hold an appreciation for others who might be seeking something very different. Sabbath asks that of us. It instructs us. Be patient with each other as you learn each other, for this is the work of the holy among you. Another way is to hear this gospel as it allows Sabbath to shape us in the ways that we look out on those who live outside the easy rules, recognitions, and successes that we define in this society. Society, as much as it helps, can also cripple, can bend us and make us hard so that we don't see straight on or feel seen as our true selves. The glaring examples of that just now are perhaps undocumented people, illegals, we call them, some of whom are actually afraid to go to church because outside many Roman Catholic churches, from time to time, federal agents show up just to find the undocumented. There are those who live, whose lives appear to be rather on the margins of life as we see it, by virtue of a poor education, a poor birth, or perhaps mental illness, by perhaps addiction or childhood neglect or abuse, or by simply growing old in this society with too little to pad their later years. When we look at them, when they cross our paths, either literally or in the media, when we form political opinions about their lives, determining where and if they will fall inside of our care, we do well to ask, how can we work together in a healing way that brings wholeness? Can we breathe Sabbath into our society, into our politic? Do my actions and my opinions reflect the Sabbath words of Jesus, "You are set free from what ails you"? Do we take Sabbath time to hold the lives of others as sacred to God who has created us all, whom the psalmist teaches has sustained us, everyone, since we were born? Sabbath is not a rule. Sabbath is a relationship meant to be treasured. It is the arena where God dips in to remake us, to make us whole, and invite us to be part of what makes the world whole. May your Sabbath be deep.